Let us pray. Lord God, the Father of all wisdom and might, who has proclaimed in this world of sin and darkness the truth about our sins and your salvation, we bless you for sending us the light of truth in Jesus Christ, that we may know that truth and be freed from sin. Help us to ever listen to your holy word, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Grant us grace to hear your law and confess our sins and unworthiness to be your children. Bless us with the message of the gospel in Jesus, that we may trust in his work of salvation on the cross and hold on to the forgiveness he earned for us. Keep us from all error, cleanse our lives from every temptation and sin, and help us to listen to your word for eternal life. We pray this in the name of Jesus, your dear Son. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 7th chapter of John, beginning at the 14th verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never taught?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The people answered and said, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marveled." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear students of the Heavenly Teacher, John the Baptist was also a teacher of God's word. His father, Zechariah, said this when at his name day, Zechariah said, "You will go before the face of the Lord to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins and to guide our feet into the way of peace." And when he began to baptize, John the Baptist was challenged about his authority. He taught the people that he was fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy and saying, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." John taught the people how to see how God regarded their sins and how they offended God by their words and deeds, so that they would repent and believe in the coming Messiah. And after Jesus' baptism, John was able to teach the people about who Jesus was when he pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John was teaching the people and telling them, helping them to see who the Messiah was. And we also are to take that teaching and believe it for ourselves. Jesus himself spent 3 years teaching the people about the kingdom of grace, that the kingdom of heaven was here. In our text, Jesus manifests himself as the teacher sent from God. And so in order for us to understand this text and to listen to our teacher, let us see how Jesus teaches us God's truth. We see in our text how Jesus teaching glorifies God, how he teaches us about true righteousness, and how he teaches us about the will of God. In the verses before our text, people from Nazareth, even Jesus' own relatives, had asked Jesus to come down and teach the people and do miracles and let everybody know. But they were thinking only in worldly terms, and Jesus said, "It's not my time yet to go down to the feast." And they went ahead, and the people in Jerusalem were wondering, "Well, is he going to come? We don't see him." And they were divided about whether he was a false prophet or somebody who was just a prophet. In the middle of that feast, Luke tells us that Jesus did come and teach in the temple. And as a teacher, he would sit down and the other people would be gathered around him, his 12 disciples and other people, the pilgrims, and then also the Pharisees and Sadducees, his enemies. When a crowd had gathered, the Pharisees tried to stop Jesus' influence and his teaching by saying, "How can this man know letters having never studied. Now, their assumption was based on a fact. Jesus had never studied in the temple. He had never studied under a legitimate rabbi, and therefore, according to them, he was simply an uneducated person. He had no right to teach because he had not studied correctly. Jesus answered these enemies by pointing out to the source of his knowledge. "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me," he says in our text. Now, as God, Jesus knew all things. But Jesus is dealing with life in his state of humiliation, which means that he set aside the use of his divine knowledge and other attributes. He had them, but he did not use them. And so Jesus learned just like you and I. But what he learned, he applied also to what God had promised and to himself as Messiah. Even at the age of 12 years old, he was able to talk with the rabbis and to ask questions about the promises that God had made about the Messiah. And now he is teaching the people. Jesus gave all glory to God when he taught them, when he said, "If anyone wills to do God's will, he will know whether concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." As God, Jesus had authority to proclaim the truth, but he is the Logos, the Word. But here again, in a state of humiliation, he gives all glory to God. The teaching comes from heaven, and therefore you should understand what I'm saying. Here Jesus is working in his role and his office as a prophet. Moses had promised that God would send a prophet like him who would teach the people and tell them what they were to know about God. And here is God's gracious will, that if God were to talk to us, we wouldn't understand what he was saying. But God sent his son to be one of us, to speak in a language that we could understand and words that we could know, so that we could hear his truth. By giving glory to God, he shows his authority as well. "I have not spoken on my own authority," Jesus said, "but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should do. And I know that his command is everlasting life." Jesus also prayed about his disciples and their word. He said, "I have given them the words which you gave me." And that is why Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." That is, it will always be fulfilled. Therefore, are we ready to listen to God's word as we should? Ancient Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." And we also should listen to God's word in the same way. When we read the Bible, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." We're not hearing the word of men, we're hearing the word of God, the truth. And even if that word says something different from what we understand, from the world, if it says something that the world rejects, we need to understand it's God's word. Jesus is teaching us God's word. And that word is everlasting life for us. And that's the most important thing. Yes, there are many things that we can learn from the world, but we cannot learn from the world the way to everlasting life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, many people today claim to be modern and so have thrown out the Bible. They call a Bible a book of toxic masculinity and accuse it of promoting patriarchy in calling God the Father and promoting husbands as the head of the family. Some not only reject that God creates the universe, but they also reject the idea that God created humans, male and female. They regard the Bible as any other ancient literature, out of date, untrue, and the source of strife. However, Jesus came teaching us God's word, God's truth, so that we might have everlasting life. And in order for us to understand that life, we need to understand his teaching about righteousness. Righteousness means to be right with God or to be holy. That is, to do everything perfectly as God wills in his law. The Pharisees accused Jesus of exalting himself and therefore breaking the law. And Jesus answered in our text, "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent me is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Now, as God, Jesus had the right to speak on his own authority, but he gave all glory to God. And he said, "My doctrine comes from him." Because the Father has no unrighteousness in him, neither does Jesus. God the Father spoke at Jesus' baptism when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God never said this about any other person except Jesus. Jesus is well-pleasing to God because he has kept God's law, because he has done what God will, according to God's will, and no unrighteousness abides in him. Now, that contrasts with our sinful nature, which does not understand the truth about every human being. Every human being except Jesus wants to glorify himself. Pride means that we don't want to believe that we're sinners. Pride means that we want to think that we can earn our way into heaven, that we can do good things and God will be pleased with us. But the law teaches us just the opposite. God can't be pleased with us when we sin, when we break his laws in thought, word, and deed. God can't be pleased with us when we go against what God himself has declared as holy. So we need to study God's law to see what our situation is. Our situation is that we are not righteous before God. As the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible also says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's glory is his holiness in part. And therefore, we have failed to meet that standard. And God says that no one who is unrighteous is able to get into heaven. And we also need to confess, as we've done this morning, that we are among those unrighteous people, that we, by ourselves, cannot get into heaven. This goes against our pride. It goes against everything that we want to think about ourselves. And it's very difficult for us to really, truly repent of our sins. But it's important to acknowledge that we cannot do anything to get into heaven, that even our good deeds are sinful, that God has every right to punish us with eternal death for just one mistake. God doesn't grade on a curve, and therefore we cannot meet his standards. But the Epiphany season tells us another message apart from the law, and that message is the gospel. God does not want to see the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their ways and live. God wants all people to know the truth, and so he sent Jesus and John the Baptist and many others to teach that truth to us so that we could find a way to heaven, not find it for ourselves, but have it revealed to us through Jesus. But we cannot find a way to heaven except what Jesus has done. God sent Jesus not only to tell us the truth, but to be able to establish the truth for us. If we are unrighteous and only righteous people get to heaven, what is the situation? How is God going to solve this? At Christmas, we celebrate the fact that when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus had to come as God, take on human flesh, and live in our world to keep the law perfectly in our place. That establishes our righteousness before God. We haven't kept the law, but Jesus did. Have we been angry at our neighbor? Jesus never hated anyone. Even when his enemies put him on the cross, he prayed that God would forgive them their sins. Have we failed to tell the truth? Jesus didn't even tell a white lie. Have we disobeyed our parents and superiors? Jesus obeyed both. Through his obedience, then, Jesus established the righteousness before the law that we need. The Bible says, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." And so the Bible says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And Jesus also went to the cross, not just to die. He went to the cross to suffer eternal punishment in our place as our substitute. God loaded on Jesus the sins of the whole world. And that's one reason why today is called the baptism of the Lord, because he was baptized into the Lord. And he was still carrying our sins. And so he was baptized for our righteousness, not for his. He already was righteous. But then on the cross, he had to suffer and die our punishment. God separated himself from Jesus so that he would suffer hell for us. In this way, the righteous requirements of the law have been met. The law has been kept. The sin has been paid for by Christ shedding his innocent blood. And so God proclaims to us that we are forgiven, our sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. That's what we need to learn from God's word. That's what gets us into heaven. Not ourselves, but Jesus. And his love, in his love and in his grace, he has taught us what is true. And he has given us hearts to believe it. The Holy Spirit has opened our hearts to believe that Jesus is our Savior, that we have eternal life through him. For Jesus has said, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Dear friends, these are the words of our teacher. These are the words of our Savior. These are the words of our God. So at Epiphany, Jesus appears to us as the Magi come and say, "Where is our King?" He appears to us as the teacher whom God has sent. And the words that we see in the Bible of Jesus, they are words of God. That promise is ours. We have eternal life. Jesus will come again and raise us up from the dead and give us eternal life in heaven. Do we believe this? Do we believe that Jesus is telling us the truth? Do we believe that this will happen to us because Jesus is our God, because he has established righteousness for us, because he tells us the truth? Yes. That's why we're here, to know that truth, to believe it, and to trust in Jesus above all things. May the Lord bless us as we hear his word, so that we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly unto all wisdom. And having this wisdom, we have joy, confidence, and hope in Christ our Lord. And then Jesus comes to us with his Lord's Supper and says, "This is my body and blood, which was given and shed for you for the remission of sins." And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation through his name. May Jesus manifest himself to us as the teacher of truth, so that we rejoice in him and listen to his word and believe it. God grant this to us all. Amen. Let us rise for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.